Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of A Pint with Friends. My name is Scott Smith, and with me today, I have two guests. Ray Volk.
Hello.
A repeated guest. We've lost count of how many times he's actually been on the show. And then, of course, we've got my lovely wife, Shannon.
A.K.A. Shaky.
A.K.A. Shaky?
Yeah.
Are you suffering from withdrawal?
I am.
Withdrawal?
Yeah.
Oh, man. How's everybody doing? Ray, let's start with you.
I'm good. I've been very lucky over the past 6 weeks or so, or however long the COVID.
6 weeks, dude. We're in like week 12 or something.
We're like 4 months.
It's like 4 months in.
I haven't stopped working, so it's been beneficial, but obviously my measurement of time has taken a bit of a beating.
It's totally gone.
That is true.
It is weird. There's strange times.
Yeah.
And how are you, young lady?
Good.
That's it.
I have nothing right
that's,
now.
That's awesome. You are still
I am A-okay.
You are. So it's been 4 months since we did our, what was that? It was beers to take into a pandemic or the end of the world beers.
Yeah.
That was what we did.
Yeah. We all interpreted it differently.
Yes.
I sort of came at it as the beers I would take to a desert island.
Right.
I was like, beers I can fight with.
And I think we ultimately determined that it was too many beers to stuff into one podcast, and it was certainly probably too many beers, too many different flavors to really appreciate everything.
Yeah,
for certain. After a while, you get a little oversaturated.
Yeah. So in this episode, we've cut it down to this three beers. Yes. Okay. So the first beer we're actually going to start is my beer. I've screwed this up already, but this is a Category 12 called Dichotomy, which is a barrel holder series. Holder. I like to pronounce my H's when I talk.
H's.
Yeah. You know. I'm going to bring up a person that you know. Remember the Irish girl that I used to work with who you loved to call
Cake Farts?
Yes, that's her. It was the most adorable thing when she would say HR, she would say HR. Oh, love it.
For HR?
HR.
HR.
So I'm going to pour this. I'm going to pour for you first, young man.
Why, thank you.
We've been enjoying Category 12 like crazy as of recent.
Mm-hmm. Is that Category 12 as well?
This has turned into a Category
12 podcast.
No, I think we have just the one Category 12.
We'll use my papa's glass.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about this glass, Shannon?
It's my parents' glasses from the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And they're fucking cool as shit. They look very gothic. And I brought them home with me.
We brought them all the way from Florida.
And my dad passed away almost two years ago on the 26th. So.
You're right.
Yeah.
So it's a lovely little way to honor him. Papa. And we brought them back from Florida and none of them broke.
Yeah, that is true.
So Dichotomy is a barrel aged beverage.
Ooh.
I bought this probably, over a month ago? We've been holding on to it.
Longer. When we did the podcast with Ray before.
Really? We had that then?
Yeah.
4 months ago?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
It's been a while.
Fetter aged. Do we remember what fetter meant?
I do not. Does anybody have the internet handy?
Fetter age?
It's nice. I don't find it to be very sour.
A little bit there. I mean, I'm getting the barrel agedness, which we talked about this before, is sometimes I've really overdosed on some of this, and they can be a real smack in the face. This seems a lot more gentle on my palate. Oh, man. I really need my spectacles.
Not aged too long.
Yeah.
And I suppose it depends greatly on what you age it in.
It's not pronounced fetter. It's pronounced fooder.
What?
F-O-O-D-E-R is how you say it. Wait, pop-up's happening. 1 second.
Damn Belgians and their pronunciations.
How dare you? Perhaps the Belgians look at the rest of us like, what the... How does this not look like footer to you?
Yeah, it's pronounced fooder. Like food-er is how they're saying how you pronounce it.
How are your eyeballs?
Roundish.
For reading?
Oh.
green on green text.
Oh.
Do you want me to read this?
You could try, or I'll just go and grab my spectacles.
No, I can read it.
Well,
but
I can.
You want to hear the whole thing.
Yeah, I do
I
want
to
hear the whole thing.
I can tell you what Fooder is.
Okay,
please do.
Let's start with that.
And it's in simplest forms, it's the largest barrel. It's a large barrel. Then exactly it becomes a fooder rather than just an oversized barrel is somewhat discriminatory, but the line is often drawn at 600 liters, which is around 160 gallons of roughly three times the size of an average oak barrel. Does that make any sense?
Well, I guess
I don't have the context of how big beer batches generally are.
Fooders are also distinguished by lengths.
So I don't know if that's a fuck ton of beer or a small amount.
I think it's larger. I think
it's a large barrel.
It's a larger barrel.
It's a larger
so
barrel.
I guess perhaps they do bigger as opposed to the smaller cask versions.
Right. So they're actually aging it in a healthier amount. Right. Those are words coming out of my mouth.
It also requires a specially trained team.
Mm. Oh.
Yeah.
Category 12 has them.
Yes.
And otherwise, legally, they couldn't brew this.
They're called foodiers.
Foodiers.
Foodiers. Foodiers, which work together to complete the construction of over a period of weeks or even months, depending on the size of the vessel.
You know what they say about my vessel. I'm talking about my cup I drink of.
I thought you were talking about the thing blood passes through.
Yeah. Oh. I'm going to turn that up.
Wow, and there's a picture of
am one. I not speaking loud enough?
No,
this is a
you're
picture
great.
Of one that's fancy.
Wow, that is spectacularly carved.
They maybe they took all the time to carve into
Holy
the barrel.
Cow. What are you guys thinking of this beer?
It's nice. I get hints of a bit of a peppery aftertaste that I find quite nice, but I find it's very refreshing, very crisp.
I can taste like a whiskey bourbon situation.
But it's not too much, though,
no.
for you? Mm-mm. So it's more well-balanced?
It doesn't hit me hard at the end like some do. It's nice.
Yeah, it's not like... Because some of them that we've had have really just been a lot.
So
and it's like cost. so... It's beyond enjoyment for me.
Did you want me to read the
Sure,
label?
Please do.
Okay, it's a 2019 vintage. Harnessing the best of disparate worlds, this meticulously blended beer creates a haven of flavor between the old world, fetter-aged Belgian style single, and a bright tartness that brings it to life. We blended the inaugural fetter release with a barrel-aged sour to produce a delicate dance of nuanced flavor. Ooh. The genesis of our fetter aging process has begun.
Fooder.
Well,
I know,
fooder
it's hard
aged,
to get out of it
fooder,
once
fooder,
you learn
fooder.
It.
Fooder.
Well done, Category 12.
I'm going to have a little bit more of that. I'm quite enjoying this.
Yeah, I have a touch, too.
So I can tell you, I found a better explanation. The fooder is a really large wooden vat used to age wine, but recently many breweries like New Belgium Brewing and Epic Brewing Company and more have got a hold of them to age their sour beers at a large amount, in a large amount of it.
Ah. So they're just getting more.
Deschutes has one. That's what Deschutes looks like. A big
okay.
Large
now, okay. Got it now.
So it looks
we
like
are
a
looking
large.
At a giant wooden barrel.
Like wine.
But like.
For like wine.
Yeah. It's massive as opposed to just like your standard barrel age that you would age whiskey in.
It kind of still looks like a beer one. That anybody
yeah. It
one.
Looks like a metal kettle that you would see for brewing, but it's much, much larger.
So Deschutes apparently has one. That's Deschutes on the picture you're looking at.
That's well, I quite like. I love the label. I love the graphics. I love sort of the... I've always loved this... I'm way back here. I've always loved this like 1960s future sort of look. Like the idea of like what the future looked like. Like retro future.
It's like Epcot Center.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's
well,
exactly
that's
right.
Florida. What is that called? That Art Deco? Is that what that's called?
With
those bright colors
right.
and the very angular lines.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what it struck out to me. That's what I couldn't think of before.
Yeah, it's very Mad Men too, in a way.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The label on this bottle is beautiful.
It is beautiful.
Is it relation to the same company that made the can where they're all dancing on the can like a 60s lounge?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, that's a freaking terrific beer too. That's a
same company?
Excitation. Mm-hmm. It's a espresso beer that we had at freaking love it.
It does feel like I'm drinking.
I was going to share it with you, but I drank them all.
Oh, wait, thank you.
Aww. Yeah, you're welcome.
It does feel like I'm drinking alcohol, like booze. Mm. Like it doesn't Surprise. Feel like I'm drinking a beer.
Well, that's definitely getting out of the aging, out of the barrel.
Yeah.
Because that's usually pulling in from like a whiskey barrel, and that's what this
is. This glass is actually really good because you can really smell.
Yeah.
I got to use these more.
It is 6.4%, so it is... I don't know if you would technically call that a strong beer. I don't know if there's a
beginning point of strong. Yeah, it's average, like, what, 4%? Maybe even
so
6%.
Sorry, I didn't mean to. Mm-mm. I just was getting excited about what I like about this. The size of the bottle is good. It's not a full Balmer style, which is a lot to drink on my own. So that's why I've been holding on to this because, you know,
500 mils?
It is something you want to share. But I actually feel I could drink this whole thing in an evening and wouldn't feel like I was being punished.
Yeah,
I would thoroughly enjoy it.
Right, like you weren't forcing your way through the last third of the
Yeah, bottle. Exactly. And that's no way to live, damn
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it is 500 milliliters. Hmm. But
so why don't we take a break and yeah. we will pour the next beer mm-hmm. and we'll rinse these glasses out and then continue our conversation
For
or talk about something else.
Are we going to take a commercial break?
We're going to take a little commercial break.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, welcome back. It is time for beer number two. This
yes,
is going to be Shannon's pick.
Bum, bum.
Beer Ta-da! Number two.
Everybody loves a second beer.
That was such a great commercial.
Second beer.
Second, are we doing my beer now? It's not Moon Brewing that I'm going to have. It's called Moon Underwater.
Moon Underwater.
Yes. It's the same one we had with the cows on it, and I cannot remember the name. Moon Juice.
This is the same company. Moon Underwater is
It's the same as Moon Juice. I love that one. It was so good, and I wanted to try another. It's just a
This is a Hefeweizen.
It's called This is a Hefeweizen.
Hefeweizen?
It's a Hefeweizen.
Hefeweizen.
Haifa.
It says, unlike every other beer we brewed, this one follows some style guidelines. Why? Because where big breweries produce boring blonde ales and pass them off as Hefeweizens. They're saying other big breweries pass them off as Hefeweizens.
They're throwing a little bit of shade.
Shots fired.
Something traditional
Moon.
Needed to be done.
Underwater.
Brewed with 70% Weizen.
That sounds like a fight after school at 3:30 in the smoke pit.
Decadent mash and fermented with Bavarian hef. This is a Hefeweizen.
Okay. Do you guys have a Facebook page or a website that people can write comments in and send questions and things
you
of that nature?
You can go to anchor.fm/apintwithfriends and you can actually record a message.
Oh.
So and
you
can
say,
you
know what,
you.
Scott, I'm tired of your fucking voice.
Right.
And I will play that on
or
the
Or you can
air.
Say, Shannon, your voice is so annoying.
Yeah.
True.
Or like,
I'll
hey,
play it.
Why don't you get that Ray guy back? He's
or
awesome.
Why do you keep getting that Ray guy back?
Yeah.
He
all
sucks.
Of that. Yes.
Or is that Ray from Star Wars?
Yes. This is what I sound like when I'm not trying to make out with my brother, not
or
brother,
Shannon
and ignoring
Shannon quit trying
Finn.
To tell dad jokes because it doesn't work.
But it is Father's Day weekend, so tell dad jokes like crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Absolutely. That's right. Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
She solved that problem.
I got it.
Yeah. She did.
Oh, that's good.
And all of a sudden, this podcast.
That was a good foam.
That's what the glass mm-hmm. said. Why, thank you.
Well, I've got
Raised
a lot of
off.
Foam. From what I gathered, pour. It was very, very good.
I could have poured that better, but, you know.
I'm into the Hefeweizens lately, though.
The Hefeweizen?
Hyper?
It's not a Star Wars
why
beer.
Why say Hefeweizen?
It's not a Hefeweizen.
Why did I say Hefeweizen? Can we make a Hefeweizen?
Hefeweizen.
You should.
A
you
beer
should
made
back
in hyper
into
speed.
Brewing and do your own and call it Hefeweizen.
I should.
You can make all your beer in hyper speed.
Super fast. Squirrel beer.
Yeah.
What?
Okay, so
it smells good.
You know, I'm just gonna say this is a Hefeweizen.
I like a Hefeweizen.
It's not one of them
though.
Stupid blonde ales other breweries are making.
But isn't a blonde ale something totally different than a Hefeweizen?
I believe so, but and I guess that's
I
Moon
like the,
Underwater's
the graphics
issue.
Too.
Isn't a Hefeweizen a wheat ale?
I thought so.
It
Magic
is. It
box
is water,
of answers,
wheat,
questions.
Barley, hops, and yeast. So it is a wheat ale.
If we had someone on here with real beer knowledge to answer that question, that's what we
I
need.
Just answered it for
I
you.
I gotta get my learn
it is
on.
A wheat. It is wheat.
Okay. Good job. You read that from a can.
Yeah, the ingredients. I like it. I like everything Moon Underwater's been doing, though. It's a simple beer, but it's good.
Okay, but they, you know, they laid some serious talk down on that can. And to be fair, I don't notice a great deal of difference between this particular Hefeweizen and any other Hefeweizen I've ever had.
Well, depending if it was a real Hefeweizen. Point,
but then... I mean, I wish we had a read this can
right
earlier so we could have had a comparison.
Yeah, see a little throwdown.
God, we got to do better research.
But it is good. I actually like it. It's an easy drinking beer.
I'm not knocking it at all. It's delicious.
No, I
your point is right.
It's, slice of orange would make this what you would get at a pub when you order a Hefeweizen.
And I like that. I like a pub beer. I like it, though. It's not terrible.
Is that coriander I taste?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, you nailed it. You're so good at pulling out the flavors.
It just says water, wheat, barley, hops, and yeast.
My palate is not doing that yet. I haven't identified that. I do love the can.
Their graphics are always nice, though. I like their stuff.
And their beer is even better. But
it's delicious.
It is totally delicious. But you're right. I don't...
So...
Hefeweizen?
A pint with friends, Hefeweizen.
Hefeweizen.
Bring that back. Bring a selection of Hefeweizens. Let's see if there's smack talk.
Fuck, that's what we should be doing. We should be doing styles of beer.
Specific styles.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, we're learning.
But a lot of the ones I've bought in the past have been like Hefeweizen with like peach or like they're putting fruit in it.
But just avoid the, just go for ones that are just Hefeweizens.
But I've been into these type of beers lately. I don't know why.
Well, because they're nice and refreshing light and just they taste great. They're not a heavy thing. They're just enjoyable.
It's nice.
You know, if somebody
it reminds me of Europe.
Yeah.
This would be a good alternative to not that there's anything wrong with IPAs. A great IPA is a good IPA, but for somebody who perhaps didn't want the hoppiness, this would be a nice alternative to it. It still has...
there's no real hop. I don't really get a hoppiness.
No, but there's a bit more to it than, say, a Kolsch or just a regular lager because of the coriander. There's a bit more flavor going on, but it's not as... I don't know how the description... You know, it's not as hoppy. It's not hops.
No, it's easy drinking.
Yeah. Yeah, and very delicious. Very crisp, very refreshing.
It's like sitting in a pub.
It could be...
You know, this would be a good, I'm going to walk to the park in my neighborhood with a surreptitious plastic cup of beverage. Should someone come by because the top is covered in a slice of orange, you could just be like, what, some orange juice? I'm getting a walk. The fact that I'm urinating in a bush is simply because I needed to urinate. It's nothing to do with my alcoholic consumption.
Yeah, one of the municipalities this week just allowed you to have alcohol in parks.
In in Florida, you can't have glass bottles on the beach, but you can have
Florida,
cans.
They got their own problems.
Yeah, Florida's Florida. That's
Florida. No, but they do have the rule of, they are good about not having glass bottles at the beach.
They've had that rule for a long time.
Yes. We've been drinking at the beach for years.
Right.
I'm talking finally allow it.
I know. Yeah. When I moved here, I was very shocked that, like, why can't I bring a beer to the park? That's where I have them most times, or at the beach.
Because
it makes no sense.
Because the local government has yet to figure out a way to make money off of it exclusively. That seems
Or they just think there's going to be a lot of public drunkenness in the daytime.
You can go to Europe, which I discovered when I was in the United Kingdom. This is 15 years ago. That you can go into any pub, order a drink, leave with said drink, wander to another pub. That's just part of life there. Is there drunken hooliganry in public? Yes. Is the vast majority of people drunken idiots? No. Here's reality. If you tell people that they can do certain things up to a certain point, but not that far, especially with things like consuming alcohol, you're going to lead yourself, you know, if you treat people like adults, expect them to behave like adults, that's what the majority will do. There's always going to be people amongst the crowd. It's not necessarily that there's bad people. Shit happens. Look, like I said last night, I'm a big dude. I had four beers, a shot of whiskey, and half a pint, or half a pipe, and you know, I was like, I never drank alcohol before. I was crawling around in my own house. Is it embarrassing? No, because nobody saw me.
Why isn't there cameras up for this?
Well, because no one needs to see me naked crawling around on all fours. That's just
reality. Oh, is that what happens now? You're just naked and you're drinking?
Is that what happens to everybody when they go home after work? I don't.
You at least need underwear on just why? So you don't like scratch something.
He doesn't need to hide his body. Don't body shame him.
Yeah. And look, if you're coming to collect something or try and sell me something, yeah, that's part of the deal.
You know what, though? That reminds me, years and years ago, when I lived in China's Cove over by my parents' house, we had, what are those guys called that come to the door, the religious guys? The
Jehovah Witnesses?
Yeah, we had those come to the door, and I had friends over, and they answered the door naked. Hmm. It was awesome, and they were like, come on in.
Is that
but
a male friend or a
off.
Female friend?
Both of them took their clothes off and answered the door.
Nice.
Male and female. It was awesome. Their faces were priceless. It was great. And they were drunk, so it made it even better. So if you answer the door that way, they'll never, ever come back to your house.
They're both Mormons and Jehovah's Witness, I think, do the...
Canvassing?
Canvassing, proselytizing, trying to encourage others to join their...
Yeah. But if you answer the door naked, they won't come back.
Well... maybe.
Or they'll
send
others.
No, they never, ever came back. We saw them come back in the neighborhood, skipped over the house.
That could be. They've changed their tactics over the years. Because for a long time, they would, when I was a kid, there was a bit of aggression. They'd try and come and push. Mm-hmm. And people got, their response became quite rude, actually.
Yeah.
So they started bringing children with them, which started to soften the blow. Hey, we brought our kids, which is, of course, was bad at our house because my father... it's one of those folks who answered the door naked just because he thought it was funny.
Exactly.
You know, and a five-year-old is right about crotch height, so I'm sure that led to some fabulous conversations in those households.
Oh, boy.
But where I live, there's a church just around the corner, and you know they come by every once in a while. But now it's very like, hi, this is who we are. And it's like, great, you're in the neighborhood. Yep, here's a pamphlet. Have a lovely day. You know, I can't knock them. I appreciate the fact that the members of these churches appreciate that the rest of us might not be.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And at the same time, I've never been one of these people that get super angry about it if they're being danks. But I mean, the same thing can be said about any person who comes to my house.
Well, no, unexpected. I just don't want anyone, if there's a knock on our door and I don't know who the fuck it is, I won't answer it.
That's because you're wearing clothes.
Well, just because
take your pants off, set yourself free.
First of all, I don't know I don't know who the fuck it is. I'm not going
to
answer the
door.
You
also live in an apartment building, so it's weirder that people would be knocking on your doors to begin with.
Yeah, it's weird to get a knock, and then
if there's a knock on our door, it's a neighbor.
It's usually a neighbor, but not always. One time,
and they've all seen you naked.
One time after you went to bed, a knock on our door, and it was the cop knock, and I was like, what the fuck did I do? I immediately felt guilty. Mm-hmm. And then I answered the door and he's like, just wanted to let you know that there's a smell of a dead body in the building. And we're investigating right now, trying to find out what it is. So I'm like,
it was an actual police officer.
Yes. He's like, we got a call that someone, there's a smell. The smell was bad when I opened the door. I can smell it. I could smell that distinctive dead body smell.
And yeah, but you hadn't smelled it before.
No, because the door was shut. Somebody, I guess, called and they were walking in the hallways and smelt it. And after some investigation, it turns out there was a dead raccoon in the elevator shaft.
Mm-hmm.
But because we have like air vents that go into the hallway, I guess it vented into the hallway.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But it freaked me out. The cop knock, that's a distinctive knock. And I'm like, no, I'm not answering that fucking door. I didn't do anything wrong.
It's strange how cop knock and cock block sound so familiar.
Well, you know the cop knock. That's not a good knock.
Why are you saying that and pointing at me?
You know the cop knock.
They knock like no others. That's part of the training.
Yeah. Listen, there's been no knocking. It's been more of a boot and flash grenades. And get on your face. It's like, Mom.
Pants up.
Wait,
no.
Have I had all the cop knocks? What's going on? It's usually for parties.
No, no, no.
And stuff.
I know. I'm familiar with the.
We've
cop
had
knock.
The cop knock for parties and stuff.
We
not here,
to party
but
out in the
I've
woods.
Had the cop knock.
Yeah.
It was more the cop flashlights and running through woods. They'll get tired eventually, and they do.
Yeah.
And then you're lost.
Did we drink this whole thing? No,
yeah.
we drank a lot of
no.
it.
No,
but
it's good though.
It was delicious.
I like it.
We all have nothing really to say about it.
I personally like it because lately I've been liking the lighter beers.
We all like it.
Yeah. I have not. I think it's good. I think it's worth buying and checking it out.
I think the only thing we did answer is that it requires a podcast to itself.
Yeah.
To see if it claims of Hefeweizen superiority is true, mm-hmm. or is simply hyperbolic advertising.
Ooh. Well, we need to buy like a true Hefeweizen. Like, does actually, where is it made? Is it Dutch? What is it?
Belgium.
Belgium. Okay, so we can find like a true Belgian.
Wait, is this Belgium or is the last can Belgian?
Well, we need to find a true one. The last can was a
Belgian
one.
Style.
Yes.
Okay, so we need to.
So the reality is, these are all locally. So
yes, they absolutely.
So
are.
You're not getting a true one. You're just going to have to get a variety of.
You might be getting a true one.
We'll get a variety of BC Hefeweizens because their claim is that other local breweries are putting out stuff that should be put to pasture.
But I want to compare it to like a true
blonde ales and calling them Hefeweizens.
Yeah.
There's that.
Yeah.
But you could also get a variety of blonde ales and do a podcast to that.
Why not brunette ales? Why not?
Oh.
Why is so it always true. The blonde ales?
Why no ginger ales? Oh, wait.
I know, but, right?
Hey. Awesome.
It's like that joke just wrote itself, ladies and gentlemen. So that's why you don't have to pay to see.
Why are the ginger ales non-alcoholic?
I bet you they were originally.
Mm.
Just like
beer.
There's ginger beer.
But I think you
like
need to just let that ferment longer.
Root beer is a fermented drink.
No, root beer is strictly sugar.
Well, no, but root beer has alcohol in it. True root beer has alcohol in it.
Sugar. True. Well, I guess, yeah.
Well, all of this is sugar. That's how
the fermenting works. Yeah. But there's a fuck ton of sugar.
There's a fuck. My parents used to make root beer when my mom worked at a place called Ward's, which is like a burger joint, and my dad worked there part-time at night, and they made root beer in the evening. They were all about root beer. It was like an A&W type of place. Yeah. But they made it on, it was bags and bags and bags. There was like one little bit of water, bags and bags and bags and bags of sugars, and then of course the syrup.
Sarsaparilla, molasses. Yeah.
Sarsaparilla.
Yeah, there you go, sarsaparilla.
So let's take our final break and we will have our third beer.
Okay, I got to go pop that cork.
Okay, be right back. And now a word from our sponsor. Okay, and welcome back. We've actually been continuing this conversation during our break, and we forgot to start recording again. But Ray, I'm going to throw it over to you because you had an excellent point.
Okay, so here's my thing. Two Moon Underwater Brewing. You laid a claim that other companies are putting out lame blonde ales and calling them Hefeweizens and saying that yours is superior in every way. I cannot verify said claim. Because with your Hefeweizen alone, and that's partly on us, we didn't read the label before we bought it.
Yeah.
Please, you don't have to out them publicly, but send us a list of those that you're calling out so that we can do our own comparison.
Yeah.
And be like, hey, are you talking trash? Are you talking shit? Are you backing your mouth up with some excellent Hefeweizen? It is an excellent beer. There's no denying it. But is it a stand above all the rest Hefeweizen? I don't know. So if you can send us, or Scott and Shannon more specifically, those that you are challenging to the table, then we can be judges. And
well, they're basically saying this is a Hefeweizen.
That's right.
Who is it by definition a Hefeweizen?
Yeah.
This is good, but is it? You know, are you strapping the belt when you walk out?
Can you change a Hefeweizen though? Hefa. Now I'm talking about a Hefa filter.
Yep.
I'm never going to say it. Don't drink those. Just change the name to Hefeweizen. is there a difference besides adding fruit to them? There's no other change in it. It's not like there's different types of ales or whatever. It just seems quality like if it's all the same.
Quality of ingredients, makes them, it's all brew be the time, same. All of that. Like you can get a lager, which it's is nuanced, pretty simple.
For sure. Yeah,
and get 10 lagers and you'll pick one of those 10 and go, this one just tastes better.
Mm.
That's their claim.
Yeah.
So, okay.
So reach out to me on Instagram or Twitter at Smitty's Brew. Mm-hmm. You can also go to anchor.fm at Pint with Friends and contact me through there as well. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to learn more about this. But I think we don't know enough about
Hefeweizen. I'm just never going to say it.
We got to start with how you say it.
I think once I say it once, I'm stuck on it.
That's true. Yeah, but that's okay.
You just really want it to be called Hefeweizen.
I do. I want all beer to be made in hyperspace.
Fast ferment.
Hey. Fast Come ferment. On.
Yeah.
All right.
We are now on to beer number three, which is Ray's beer. I'm going to throw it back over to you.
Okay. So this is a Origins by Crooked Staves. Mm-hmm. This is a Burgundy sour ale aged in old barrels. It's a Belgian brown. For me, when I first got into sour beers, the very first one I had was a Belgian brown. So this is a bit of a nostalgia trip for me. That's why I picked it.
Where was that first beer that you had? That
the
first
very
sour?
First sour was at a Brentwood Mall cold beer and wine store. I went in.
Really?
This was sort of in the height of craft beers were becoming bigger, expanding more, but it was they were not really drifting away from hops. It was just more hops. How do we make something hoppier?
Yep.
And I've gone on about my lack of love of extra hoppy beer forever.
Yep.
And so I complained out loud, and one of the people who was working at that particular cold beer wine store is like, well, what about a sour beer? And I didn't know what that was. And
yeah.
I wish I remembered the name of the company that had put this out, but they put out a Belgian brown. Mm. I took one home. And the rest is history. I fell in love. I've gone down to the Cascade Barrel Aging House down in Portland. You know, there's a great one on the coast. They do a lot of barrel aged. You know, and the sour beers have taken off. You know, there's kettle sours now. There's all these other things. So here's to hoping this is a delicious sour.
It feels like it's going to be cherry-like.
Actually, the very first time, actually the only time I brewed beer with the help of you guys,
yeah.
That's what I did. The sour was the barrel aged or the Belgian brown. It had to ferment or sit in that thing. I had to use wood chips and
yeah,
I remember that.
There was a lot of babysitting.
Sounds yeah, like 6 months.
There was a lot of work.
It's 6 weeks in the thing, and then you bottled it, and it had to sit in the bottle.
Wasn't like 6 months.
Well, it was like 5 months in the bottle.
Yeah,
and you had to keep it cool too.
Well, it had to be at a very specific temperature,
more so than a regular beer that you brew.
But look, in the end, I quite enjoyed it. I mean, it was homebrew. All homebrew has that sort of homebrewy flavor. But
is this a sour?
It is.
Okay, yeah, it does taste sour.
All three of us sipping at once for a nice little silence.
See that?
Okay.
Yeah, delicious.
You definitely cannot have chocolate after this.
I bet
you could. Chocolate with this would be delicious.
Oh, no, it would be weird.
So when I was listening to you, I was just sniffing it, and I thought, oh, this is going to be real boozy. This is going to be a tough one.
Yeah. I thought
this
so,
is gonna
too.
Smack,
I thought
smack
the same
in the face.
Thing.
But this is really nice.
Yeah.
What's
this
the
is really, really well balanced. Wow.
I can't read
excellent
that far.
It's 6.5.
Okay.
So it's the same, basically the same alcohol content as the dichotomy we tried earlier in the program. To be honest, I don't know if what they've chosen to age it in adds to that. But yeah, they're not high. I don't find they're high alcohol, like a strong beer. Mm-hmm. But they do have that very strong aroma. And it's quite, you know, it's sour but crisp. Like it shows up, the sour hits you, and then it sort of lets go. You know what I mean? It's like a quick.
It's almost
hug.
Like
they're just like aging it in the barrel. They're not using a whiskey barrel, right? Like I don't feel.
No, they're using an oak barrel.
Yeah, okay, so just an oak barrel. So there is that oakiness, but it's not an extra layer of booze on top of it. I think it's a fresh oak barrel. It's not a used.
Hey,
oak
they're
barrel.
Using the fooders.
Or used whiskey.
They're
barrel.
Using fooders.
Are they?
Yeah. Nice.
There you go.
It's our from our barrel cellar, our Burgundy and sour gracefully ages in our large oak fooders.
There you go.
Hmm.
Yeah, I could barely read that in my glasses, but yeah.
So fooder has probably been adopted by beer brewing companies so that they can just make larger batches.
Yeah.
Which is good for all of us because the cost for them is lessened because they can make
more of it at once.
Right.
Okay. But they move it into smaller ones, though, afterwards.
Oh, there you go, for double aging.
Sorry.
I cannot. Can you read that?
What is the name of the brewery?
Crooked Stave.
You should read that because it says what they do. They do it in the fooders and move into a smaller. Oh, did I just give it to you without glasses?
Yep, I'm going to get my specs.
Continue.
Do we have all, like two of the beers are fooders?
Well, it is a Burgundy sour ale, so perhaps they put it in a Burgundy.
Maybe.
Before we carefully select each blend from our barrel cellar, barrel cellar, our Burgundy sour gracefully ages in a large oak fooder, and finally, smaller wine casks.
Yeah.
So there is a hint. That's where you get the touch of the wine. Yeah. But I think perhaps because it's wine, mm-hmm. and the alcohol content in wine isn't so immense as it would be in a whiskey, for instance, you're just getting more of that.
It's quite nice, though.
It's got like a hint of port to it, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say it kind of tastes like a port a little bit.
But
not as strong as a port.
Where's Crooked Stay from? Are they Canadian? Are they BC?
I don't know.
So I have never heard of them. You've had this brewery before?
Not this brewery. Just the style. Just the style of beer. The Belgian Brown is a style.
Well, I'm going to look for Belgian Browns again. Fun to say.
Denver, Colorado.
Wow.
Brewed and bottled by Crooked Stave Artisan Beer Project, Denver, Colorado.
Do you like it, Shannon?
I do, but are they importing that?
Yeah.
From Denver, or are there someone else brewing it here for them?
No.
This would be imported.
Because Mark, down at Everything Wine, knows what is good.
That is true, because he brings in...
You should do a podcast with him.
I should.
They actually bring in Cigar City from Florida. Mark does.
Right. Hey, that's so much better.
How about that? When glasses
are these prescription or are these just off the counter?
These are just drugstore.
Drugstore.
He does have prescription glasses, though.
I'm not at the point yet where I need the actual prescription, but a little help with reading every now and then.
That I have prescription reading glasses, but my eyes aren't as bad as yours. Your eyes are like 7.0 or 7.5 and 8.0.
Oh, people, I've got some bad eyes. I've been wearing glasses since grade 6.
Yeah. I'm only like a 1 point but something.
The one thing I do find with the off-the-shelf glasses is when I remove them, mm-hmm. my eyes require readjusting. Because in reality, those are just...
They're just reading.
They're magnifying glasses. They're not really a...
Yeah.
I say that like I know the difference between an actual pair of glasses, right?
You've got two eyes. You're an expert.
I am.
Yeah.
I have prescription glasses, though, and they actually work really well. But mine are like 1 point something. Yours are like, you're definitely blind. Like, if you take your contacts out, you're completely...
Super blind. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the last time I had a fitting for contacts, I tried doing the multi-focus contact lenses. So it's readers and for distance.
Oh, really? Like bifocals?
And it was a wild ride, man.
How within something that close to your eye are you expected to refocus properly?
I don't know how it works.
I would get a headache, I think it's voodoo.
But
so you were killing chickens?
Look, we don't need to talk about that part. But I saw what I was killing. it was so weird. I couldn't really adjust to it because it was so the contacts, I went a little bit stronger because my eyes actually had deteriorated, my distance had deteriorated. So getting used to that plus the close up stuff, like when I was looking at my phone, I felt like I want to hold it here. This is where I had been holding it, but with those contacts in, I had to move it to like a full arm's length.
Because it was too powerful.
Because it was too powerful. So no, I ended up just going...
All you see is a single letter.
That's right. E-R. And then where it was the most annoying is when I was actually driving. So when I'm driving and then I'm looking down at the speedometer, what seemed like a full second for me to register what
before you could actually see.
It almost felt like it probably wasn't that long,
but that's what it seemed like, and it seemed a little bit too dangerous. Like it seemed like that split second for my eyes to refocus again was just too weird. So then I went with my original prescription of what I had, and now over this last year, it's like I'm having more and more difficulty reading smaller.
I worried you're going to be blind at some point.
No. Well, let's hope not.
His glasses are so thick.
Like, how thick are they?
They're so thick, in fact. They're like a window pane.
But can you make out details, say, on that Doctor Who painting over there? Mm-hmm. Or like, is there...
With my glasses,
there no range of unassisted when you can, vision
if he takes
that works?
His contacts
if I take
out,
these out
and you look at me, I have to be right up front.
Yeah, like my vision, like yeah, not even, probably a foot or around my face.
Not even. So
you're that much closer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird.
Have you always been
Started wearing glasses in grade 6.
Oh, right. So you're a mutant.
When I met him, he wore glasses, and then you went to contacts years later.
Contacts have just gotten better and better, and
you're
just
going to tattoo your eyeballs now and go blind?
Too scared to go and get LASIK.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But my dad just had an eye surgery done where he has... So my dad has glaucoma, and I think they replaced the lens in his eye.
How?
Well, they carve
it out.
Do
they sew it in?
A tiny little slit. Ugh. He was awake, and he was in and out in 15 minutes.
I could never do that awake. I think I would panic. You would have to put me out.
I don't think they do. I don't.
No.
There's no way.
You have to be alert.
There's no anything that has to do with like putting stuff like in your eyes, like cutting your eyes. There's no way I can do it.
Well, then you're just going to go blind.
I'm not blind yet. I still have my vision's still pretty good.
Your vision is very
good. I have two separate glasses. I have one for reading prescription and one for distance. So I can't do the progressive together because that would be
a horrible experience. I think I may get actual readers because I'm pretty sure my eyes are not even. Yeah. So just a plus one.
She told you to get this number. What your eye doctor told you to get that number.
Well, but I mean, you pay for it, but I guess my medical is reset.
We get some cooler ones, I guess. Yeah.
Because those aren't great. They're not super comfortable, but I would try the multifocus again, I would think, but
I don't know.
We'll see.
I wouldn't trust driving in it.
I need it for things like when I'm painting miniatures.
Sure.
Oh, you could just get the little focus ones, the ones that have magnetized.
Yeah, but again, you're just putting a magnifying glass in front of your eyes like those. And
what about the light? When
I have the big circular light, but I also when I'm using.
So you have the light with the magnify.
Yeah, but when you're using a paintbrush, you still have to hold the model far enough away that you're not just smashing the magnifying glass. So I find it becomes redundant. And I did try to cut the end off of one of my paintbrushes, which then made it really awkward to use. So it's an excellent light source. It's brilliant. It's a shitty
I used to
I need a great halogen light above because I want the light coming down and then I need like and it doesn't need to be big like what I would like is like a magnifying glass that was like long and narrow so I could just lean up into it look through and get that little detail-y bit like
I'm sure
that is his
out
eyeball
there.
Gunk as opposed to you know pretending I'm painting the eyeball and you realize that his ear is glowing yellow and you're like you can see out of the side of his head that's sneaky.
Well, I used to before I met Scott, I was a communications technician, and I used to repair, back then, if you're old enough, pagers and cell phones.
She says that looking at me, if I'm old enough. Yeah. I predate the
pager,
I'm saying
the audience in general, if they're old enough to remember.
I remember when there weren't pagers.
But right? I used to have to ground myself and sit in a cage and work on things, and I'd have to pull that magnifying over and get in. So I'm used to working with the magnifying and tiny little things. So,
yeah, doing soldering and things
soldering,
of that nature.
I would solder.
But even still, I think doing the soldering would work better with my idea. The vertical light source and then just a strip of magnifying glass so that you
could... Oh, that would be better. But I'm used to it, though. So right. I would just always been used to it.
Oh, but you could find something that'll work for you.
Of course, it's not ideal. They're called glasses. they fit right onto my head. Yeah,
and they
magnify stuff all the time.
Occasionally.
There's probably something out there because those kind of have a magnifying.
Well, that's just
situation.
It. It's not. No. I mean, which is all granted. That's all that glasses really ultimately are. But my eyes now are both slightly different. The prescription on each one is unique. So I imagine for my close up vision, it's probably
you're getting
also
close
too.
To the end of the line as far as like you're at 8.
What? What's happening to me?
She said you can go as far as 12, I think,
you're
or 13.
You're getting close to the end of the line.
No,
I'm just trying to brush it over. Like, oh, I didn't realize it.
As far as like contacts go, you're
if
getting
you're
close to the end of the line.
This is my last recording.
Has your wife been upping your?
She said you're
your
getting
insurance?
You're at the higher end of getting to where you can't have contacts anymore.
Send some of the good cops, the nice ones.
I'm curious if Crooked Stave is going to be delighted with our review of their beverage because it went from, oh, this is a really nice Belgian brand.
And we're blind.
And I'm blind. At my age,
don't
I can't.
Don't make your writing so small.
I can't, or get better glasses, you old bastards.
Yeah.
Drink our beer
well,
anyways.
I have them. I just need to actually have them at, I need to get the things like Grandma does and wear them around my neck and just be like, let me read that.
Oh, okay. Like a monocle?
Weird sign language. She was just jiggling your babes. Like Grandma. And I'm like, I'm not sure what your grandma does.
You know what I've done? Because even though my glasses are just right over there, I'll take a picture of my phone and zoom in.
Yeah, because
Even though I just go get my glasses, I'll just take a picture.
The glasses are far away, and the phone is always with
me. The glasses isn't far away. They're literally right there. Yeah.
But I would like to say, this is, I really enjoy this.
I do, too.
Crooked Stave, Origins, Belgian Brown, delicious.
It feels like I'm drinking a nice, like if a bourbon South or a whiskey. If you're in Vancouver,
is it Everything Wine?
Everything Wine.
They have it on sale. It's $4 off. It's $17 a bottle right now, which is...
Yikes. No,
it's a good price.
Which is a
off.
Good price, because that's the one thing with sour beers, like the ones you get out of Cascade Brewing or Brew House or whatever it's called. They're $35, $40 a bottle, which is a lot of money for most folks, especially for a beverage that not, it's relatively niche. I don't know if that's the right term, but not everybody digs them. But if you're going to, like any adventure, if you want to have a really good version of something, this is a great starting place. It's not so over the top sour. Like I like some stuff that's like I've said before, a singularity in your mouth, like it's trying to suck your face in. It's sour, but this is really nice. This is very crisp.
I like
it's very refreshing.
And I usually isn't. I'm usually not on board with the whiskey bourbon type, but this is nice. It's
right.
It feels like I need like a whiskey glass and just sit there and chill by the fireplace. It's
right.
Good. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Now you're just talking.
Or a cigar.
Dirty.
All three beers have been.
Or both.
Or both.
Right. I think all three beers have been a success tonight.
Yeah.
I think we liked all of them.
There was nothing terrible. The one terrible I had was before this podcast. It wasn't terrible, but that rose one, the rose beer.
Oh, with
the wine
the
beer.
Hibiscus.
Yeah. It was okay.
It was terrible. I was fascinated, but.
Yeah.
Oh, that is really good.
Well, we're going to enjoy that. And I hope you enjoyed listening to this.
And if you want to continue, you can head over to Weird Together podcast, and we're going to keep going on Weird Together.
Oh, man, that'll be great.
Yeah.
So thank you. Thank you, Frankie, for your good choice here today,
yeah,
Ray.
Yeah, I think
and
you did
Shannon.
Thanks for inviting me over. It's always a pleasure.
And until next time,
yeah,
share a fight with friends and also drink better beer.
Yes.
Get out there. Explore.
Yes.
Thank well, you. That's the first thing. Explore.
What's the second thing?
Explore more.
And drink. Explore and drink. Taste.
Hi. Maybe explore drinking and then exploring without drinking.
Before you end it,
yep.
Can we bring up one thing?
Sure.
Ray hasn't seen it, but we should talk about this really quick. There's a new...
He's seen my penis.
Yeah, well...
It's new. It's new and improved.
Enhanced.
He should be very impressed.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh. The beer show we watched in the new television series, Brew Brothers.
Oh, there's a comedy on Netflix called Brew Brothers.
Yeah.
And it really picks up by episode 3.
It starts off kind of but
yeah,
it gets
but
better.
It's good. It's two brothers. Well, it's a guy that owns a brewery and not only his long lost brother, but
it's a half brother.
Yeah. Anyways, it's
so
worth
there's the hardworking go getter and then there's the freeloading douchebag
the
who
brother,
shows up.
The
and,
other brother who
no,
thinks
it's
he's
the,
better brewer
it's
than
the,
him, and so he's kind of like high. He thinks he's a hierarchy.
It's the Cicerone brother.
Yeah.
The purist that. Just wants to make beer for the sake of making beer, and everybody else needs to be educated. So it's that guy. It's the uber beer nerd,
right.
Yeah.
Dick, and
who doesn't actually know anything about beer, or does he actually know?
He does, but he's too hyper aware. Beer. He's like if they do brewery tours, he's like, "Have you ever had Budweiser?" And he's like, "Get the fuck out of my brewery!"
Right.
Like he's just like, "You need to be serious." Versus the other brother's not.
You must masturbate into every barrel, but only one drop. Just
he's also speaking of that. He also practices
sex.
What was it where he doesn't like?
He doesn't release. He only releases every 30 days. So
he comes to the almost.
So he's his own clock tease.
It's own tantric sex. Yeah, he's masturbation.
So the whole episode, he's like, "Oh, I think I cummed."
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, it wasn't.
Anyways, that's not adding anything to loveliness of the show.
It's a funny. We're taking anything away. It got funny though. Like after episode 3, it got really funny.
Yeah.
Is this where we just segue right into? Hey, we're weird together.
No, we're gonna pause it there. Thank you. You can continue on this conversation on Weird Together.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I'll put these two episodes up the same week, so you'll be able
and
to
check out Brew Brothers on Netflix.
On Netflix.
On Netflix.
Yeah. And Moon Underwater. Please respond to our request.
Moon Underwater.
Thank you. Good call.
Bye, guys.
Take care.
Good night.
Bye.
Stay safe.
Thank you for listening to A Pint with Friends. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Have something to say? Go to anchor.fm/apintwithfriends to leave a message and Scott will read it on air. Tell me what you're drinking. Reach out to me on Twitter or Instagram @SmittysBrew. I would love to hear from you. And until next time, I'd love it if you could share a pint with friends.